A Sleeping Life by Ruth Rendell. Read by George Baker. Home early for once. And maybe regularly now August had begun, the silly season. Criminals as well as the law-abiding take their holidays in August. As he turned the car into his own road, Wexford remembered his grandsons would be there. Good. It would be light for another 3 hours. And he'd take Robin and Ben down to the river. Robin was always on about the river, because his mother had read The Wind in the Willows to him, and his great desire was to see a water rat swimming. But as Wexford edged his car past his daughters into the drive, she came running out of the house with a screaming Ben in her arms and 6-year-old Robin looking truculent at her heels. Robin rushed to his grandfather. "You promised we could see the water rat."
"Well, so you can, as far as I'm concerned. I thought you were staying the night."
Sylvia's face was crimson, with rage, or perhaps just from haste. It was very hot.
"Well, they're not, thanks to my dear husband. Nobody's going anywhere, even though it does happen to be our wedding anniversary."
"Will you shut up, Ben?
He's bringing a client home for dinner instead, if you please. And I, of course, have to be the one to do the cooking and fetch the kids."
"I'll leave him here," said Wexford. "Why not?"
"Oh, no, Dad. I'm taking them home, and Neil can have the pleasure of putting them to bed for once."
She thrust both children into the car and drove off. Wexford shrugged and went indoors. Some sort of scene had evidently been taking place, but he knew his wife better than to suppose she would be much disturbed by it. True to his expectations, she was sitting placidly in the living room, watching the tail end of a children's programme on television.
"What's got into Sylvia?"
"Women's lib," said Dora Wexford. "If Neil wants to bring a client home, he ought to cook the meal, clean the house, and lay the table. She's taken the children home to make sure he has a hard time of it."
"God, I always thought she was sensible.
But she's got this bee in her bonnet. It's been going on for months.
You are the people, we are the others. You are the masters, we are the chattels."
"Why haven't you told me about any of this?"
Dora switched off the television.
"You've been busy. You wouldn't have wanted to listen to all this nonsense."
Wexford raised his eyebrows. "It's nonsense?"
"Well, not entirely.
Men still do have a better time of it in this world than women.
I can understand she doesn't like being stuck at home with the boys, and she gets bored when people come and the men talk to Neil about architecture, and the women talk to her about polishing the bedroom furniture. Oh, I can understand it."
Her husband looked hard at her.
"You feel that way too?"
"Never you mind," said Dora, laughing now. "Let's forget our tiresome child. You're so early, we might go out somewhere after we've eaten. Would you like to?"
"Love to. How about the open-air theatre at Sorinbury?"
Before she could answer, the phone rang. Wexford lifted the receiver, and Dora knew. All he said was, "Yes." "And sure I will." But she knew. He hung up and said, "They don't all go on holiday in August. A body in a field not half a mile from here." Kings Markham is a sizable town in the middle of Sussex. Much built up now, though open country still remains at its northern end. There the high street becomes Pomfret Road, and the Cheriton Forest clothes the hills. Forest Road debouches directly upon Pomfret Road, but to reach it, most of its residents take the shortcut from the high street by a footpath across a field. Wexford parked his car in Forest Road, where this footpath entered it as an alley near the boundary fence of a pair of houses called Carlisle Villas. He swung into the alley and followed the footpath. About 100 yards ahead, he could see a group of men gathered at the edge of a little copse. As Wexford approached, Inspector Michael Burden came to him and said something in a low voice. Wexford nodded and went to Detective Loring, who stood apart with a young man who looked pale and shaken.
"Mr. Parker, I understand you found the body."
Parker nodded.
"My son did."
"He couldn't have been more than 25 himself."
"A child," said Wexford.
"Ah, well, tell me what happened."
"I live in one of the bungalows, Forest Road, Bella Vista. We were coming back from my sister's, along the path here, and Nicky was playing with the ball. They went into..."